Usually I start with a fantastic intro and tell everybody what I've, you know, what we're doing, what they're doing. But today we're going to keep it as brief as possible because we've got the Brief Lab founder, Joe McCormick, on. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Joe, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Scott.
This so Brief Lab actually went, you know, did the one day thing with you. It was an amazing experience to me because myself included, obviously talking on the radio, I talk a little too much sometimes. And working with startup companies and a lot of businesses in innovation, what we try to say is, how do you voice your innovation ambition? And what ends up happening, and this is where I think, you know, we're going to have an interesting conversation, is you've got all these ideas, right? So you go in to meet with your board, or you go in to meet with your investor, you go in to meet with whoever you're trying to pitch your idea to, and all of the ideas are like fumbling out of your face, and they lose sight of what the real point was. And then you got nothing. And you go back, and it's like, well, I lost my opportunity for this idea.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would benefit from doing something like the Brief Lab where they can learn to get the point out.
The first thing is, I think that you're absolutely right, is this: all these ideas are in your head, and you have to start with your audience. What do they care about?
Yeah.
And if you start there, then you can start leaving out all the things that you care about and focusing on the most important thing, which, what do they care about?
Yeah. Well, what was the moment for you, I mean, that you got into Brief Lab? I mean, obviously you've had a great career, but
the story really starts about 5 years ago. I have a consulting firm, and we're helping executives develop a concise message, an elevator speech, so to speak. And I got a call from the military, from the Special Operations Community at Fort Bragg. And they invited me to develop a curriculum for their operators to teach them how to make briefings brief. And these are an elite group of guys that are not necessarily great communicators, but they're exceptional in everything else in their life except communicating.
Yeah.
So I went in there and I developed a very experiential curriculum with them about when you're clear, what's happening, when you're concise, how do you trim, teaching them techniques like how to headline, like what's the headline, what's your main idea, how to organize it, how to mind map. I mean, all these techniques that were layered into this course. And throughout the course, what was fascinating is the guys would tell me at the end of the course, without fails, you got to write a book.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tell you that the first time, you're like, okay, I'm going to write a book. Thanks. That was, you know, it's like a compliment. And then over time, it was like, no, you really have to write a book because we want to read something after the course. So I thought about this long and hard. I'm like, all right, so they do briefings. Why don't I just call the book Brief?
Yeah.
So I pitched the idea to Wiley a couple years ago. They immediately just loved it because nobody's ever written on the topic.
Yeah.
How do you?
It's like when I first heard about, you know, Tim Russmeyer introduced this. When I first heard about Brief Lab, I was like, I don't understand. Like, I don't. It's brief. How can, like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
it's just you're like taking information away.
Yeah. I mean, there's a famous, you know, quote from a French mathematician, Blaise Pascal, and he said, "I would have written you a shorter letter if I had more time." We live in a world right now where people just, everybody's talking and nobody's listening because we live in an information age. It's historic right now. What's
constant
happening.
Bombardment.
Constant. So the first thing we need to do is understand the environment. The environment right now is absolutely impossible for anything to get through.
Yeah.
Because you're competing with everything. And the takeaway is you have to teach people how to do this. The school of hard knocks isn't enough. And I interviewed a general at the Pentagon, and he told me, he said, nowhere in my career, you know, at West Point or the workouts, did they teach me how to be brief. And they do briefings all the time.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, that's the idea. The idea is teach people how to do this in advance. I'm doing an interview. I'm going on a big investor pitch. I'm going on a road show.
Anything, whatever it is.
And focus on the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are really three things.
Yeah.
Don't over-explain. The tendency of all the stuff that you said in your head, it's leave it in your head. Right. So don't overexplain. The second thing is take time to prepare. What do they care about? What's the most important thing?
Yep.
And the third thing is, and this is, you know, we're in a, you know, journalism right here, your radio show and in media, is what's the headline?
Yeah.
What's the one thing that you want the audience to remember at the end of the day? And when people do those three things, they can be brief. And then the feeling of the audience is relief. You're like, finally, I'm talking to a person that's easy to follow.
Yeah.
That makes people stand out.
Well,
and
you know,
it's remarkable to see that.
First and foremost, that's totally right. I mean, you look at the situation, as you mentioned, with all the constant bombardment of information, the white noise is everywhere. It's just everything is just like coming at you 1,000 miles an hour. And for that reason, you have basically a microsecond of someone's attention to get your one moment. And if you run long with it, they start wandering away and they're looking at other things and their mind, the voices in their head start playing another way. You have literally, you know, I was like, it's like a billboard. When I meet with companies and I say, what's your thing? Don't give me an elevator pitch because this is a real short ride. You've got 11 words, basically.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you 11 words to get me somewhere. Get me where you're trying to get me to real quick.
The key is You're absolutely right. The key is to grab their attention and hold it.
Yeah.
So I did a project with U.S. Special Operations a year ago, and they were looking for the U.S. Special Operations promise to the nation in 10 words. It took us 2 days. But the promise to the nation is to protect our nation without fear, without fail, without equal. Now, that gets your attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, once you got your attention, the irony is a brief explanation can lead to a longer conversation.
Sure, of course.
And then you're in.
Well, I'll tell you, you must have read my notes because we didn't have this conversation. I'm going to read this as something I was going to say to you at the end of the show, but I'll say it now. I was going to ask you to finish the show, which I still will ask you, in 10 words or less, what are some advice, blah, blah, blah. The 10 words thing, it's right on cue. It's important that people understand that you know, choose them wisely. If you cut the number of words you can use off, it forces you to pick words and meaning that have impact.
Yeah, there's a memo written by Winston Churchill, of all things. Winston Churchill, yeah. Right? World War II War Department. I just came across this recently, and the memo is on brevity.
Yep.
And at the end of his memo, he's talking about like all the papers that we have to read in the war effort, intelligence coming in over the all this stuff. And he says, we need to be brief because we can't do the work because there's too much information. Imagine that 75 years ago.
That's
what's it like
crazy.
Today, right?
Yeah.
The amount we consume media 8 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
Check our smartphones 150 times a day, right? It's ridiculous. So when you look at this this memo, at the end of it, he says, brevity ensures clear thinking. So you're spot on. So when you compress the time, clear thinking emerges.
Sure.
Because you got to cut off the stuff that might be fluff.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the essence of the skill that you can teach. You can actually certify the course you took. You can certify people in doing this so it stands out like, hey, I got people in my company that can do this. They can lead a pitch. They can develop a clear idea. They can get people's attention. And they're certified. They know how to do this. It's not like hoping.
Well, and to that point, I mean, I look at like from a certification standpoint, I think it's important that everyone read a book like Brief Lab or attempt Brief Lab and go to see the book Brief and all these things. But I think that you really have to practice this. This isn't, you know, I went to school, like you said, talking about media and things, learning how to write ahead and learning how to write advertising billboards and things that are impactful. And you get a headline that people are like, oh, okay, I want to learn more or I'll listen longer, if you will. But then you go out during the day and you start to kind of let yourself get a little looser. And then you start losing focus on how you're communicating with people. You have to practice being brief with an actual structure, I believe.
Definitely. If you look at it like a language. So when you learn a language, you start with, like if you learn Spanish or French or Russian or whatever, you start with working knowledge. I have the basic nouns and verbs to fundamentally communicate, like I'm hungry, how to get to the airport, et cetera. And then you layer on top of that like a conscious command. Now I'm really aware of what I'm doing when I'm speaking the language, and then you get proficient in it, and at some point you become fluent and you have mastery. That happens with practice.
Absolutely.
They talk about like how long you have to be overseas before you become fluent. They're like 6 months, a year, 2 years. It's all it is. What you're saying is day after day, you're getting better at this. So it starts with reading it, doing some exercises. But over time, I've seen with corporate executives, entrepreneurs, people I've worked with, taking the workshop, read the book, that they actually get really good at it.
Yeah.
And the results start to like become faster and more noticeable for them.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I still, like I said before, I still use the the note part that you know the brief maps. I still use the brief maps all the time. In fact, I use them with some of the startup companies when we get started to give me their mission statement sort of in their message, because honestly, it's easier to read it and understand sometimes than it is to have a conversation because their passion is a little too.
Yeah, I mean, what we suggest to people is one of the most effective things to do is take out a piece of paper, just a blank piece of paper, and draw a visual outline of your ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Mind mapping, they call this visual outlining, is a very effective technique to figure out, okay, what's the main idea and what are the subordinate ideas and what's the hierarchy of ideas and the logic? And once you map that out in advance and you start practicing it, you can get down to like, all right, that took me 10 minutes. Now it takes me 5. I can do it in 2.
Yep.
And it all starts with a nice, clean visual outline, and everybody's, you know, lays it on the paper. You can see it, you know, laid out there in a picture, and it works.
That's
like
another reason why, like I said, I think I would love to introduce the Brief Lab to a lot of our innovation people, a lot of our startup guys, because we use the same sort of canvas. I mean, the reality is we call it empathy mapping, but it's the same general gist. I mean, that's the same design thinking practice that we use, where we're trying to understand the end user and their motivations and all these things, so that we can make a logical step to how do we engage them, how do we serve them, how do we communicate with them, how do we, you know, so on and so forth. What are some of the companies that you currently are, you know, our clients?
We work with U.S. Gypsum. I just did a workshop in Orlando with Jones Lang LaSalle. We work with BMO Harris Bank. We work with Grainger.
Yep.
We work with Microsoft. We work with MasterCard.
So like tiny companies that no one's ever
tiny
heard of.
Tiny companies. Well, they have a lot of complexity, right?
Sure.
So they have thousands of
those companies
of employees.
Need brevity more than anyone on the planet.
If you think, one of the things that we're working on right now is we're working on a framework where an organization can actually use brief as a way of changing how they communicate as a company. Think about like Lean Six Sigma, what it did for manufacturing years ago, right? Like you're driving all the waste out of a process.
Yeah.
17 steps is now 10 or 7. The same thing with communication, like the wasted words. So what we're doing is we're starting to work with organizations, which if we can certify people within the organization, like a brief certification program, they can become ambassadors and hold that organization accountable to like, why is the meeting an hour if it could be a half hour?
Yeah.
Or why do we get so many emails that I don't understand what you're saying? Or death by PowerPoint, all that. How could you institutionally change the reasons why people hate going to work at big companies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is just, it sucks the fun out of your day.
It does. I mean, I do like that some of these companies are starting to, well, I guess they're learning because a lot of millennials won't take the jobs with them and won't stay with them. But they're making an adjustment to sort of change the culture slowly at least.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like, it's like a tale of two companies, right?
Sure.
You have a company where brevity is built in. The meetings are effective. The conversations are more meaningful. There's less. And then the other one is where chaos abounds. It's
sure.
The companies that the reality. That's why Dilbert became famous. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like you're laughing at these cartoons because it's
true.
It's true.
Yeah.
This is what I live every day. Right. Which explain to a fourth grader what you do for a living and what you do all day is sit in meetings. So it's some of those things I think just socially brief can help address. It doesn't fix everything, but it helps really tune an organization to be higher performing.
If you can give, and this is the 10 words or less one, if in 10 words or less or thereabout, if you can give one sort of tidbit of advice for somebody, whether they're pitching, it's an interview, whatever it is, what would be your sort of genesis?
If I give an advice for a person who's doing a pitch or an important presentation is find a headline.
That's good advice.
Think of it like you're writing a story. What's the first thing that they're going to read at the top of the page that's going to really frame the rest of the article?
I'm going to make you a millionaire. That's your headline.
I have an idea that is going to be a game-changing, you know, innovation for the organization. Or I'm working on a project which is going to save us $1 million in the first 3 years.
Yeah.
Things like that grab your attention. And as long as you can back it up.
Sure.
If you just have that and nothing else, then you've got an unfulfilled promise, right? So that sometimes you call that a brand promise, but it's an attention grabber. I would say speak in a powerful headline.
I think that's a great idea. Where can people go to follow you or find out more about Brief Lab?
Thebrieflab.com is our site. So on the site, we have tools. You can register. We're starting a certification program called it's Brief Certification, and it's a series of online courses that we've spent the last year developing, Brief Practitioner, Daily Manager, Moments During the Day. And the idea is that that program would certify you in brief. So you can actually put it on your resume as this is like I'm Lean Six Sigma Black Belt.
Yep.
I'm brief certified. Just like this, like what you and I did. That's a big thing. So thebrieflab.com, you can buy the book. We've got a blog. And then there's links to tools that you can download, like brief maps and mind maps and things like that.
And on Twitter, is it thebrieflab, right?
It's at thebrieflab.
At thebrieflab. Very cool. Joe, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming down.
Great to see you again, Scott.
You too. You can stream this episode and more on the WGN Plus app or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom, that's a wrap.